আসসালামু আলাইকুম ওয়া রাহমাতুল্লাহি ওয়া বারাকাতুহু। আলহামদুলিল্লাহি রাব্বিল আলামিন ওয়াস সালাতু ওয়াস সালামুল আতাম্মানি আল আকমালানি আলা খায়রি খালকিল্লাহি আজমাইন ওয়া আলা আলিহি ওয়া আসহাবিহি ওয়া মান সারা আলা সাবিলিহি ওয়া নাহজিহি ওয়া মান ইসতানা বিসুন্নতিহি ওয়া মান ইহতাদা বিহাদিহি ইলা ইয়াউমিদ্দিন আম্মা বা'দ। وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل يا أيها الكافرون لا أعبد ما تعبدون ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد ولا أنا عابد ما عبدتم ولا أنتم عابدون ما أعبد لكم دينكم ولي دين صدق الله العظيم. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who yet again has given us this beautiful opportunity of gathering in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this Mubarak occasion of Jumu'ah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us this opportunity. We make dua to Allah ta'ala that He allows us to see many, many more days of Jumu'ah. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He allows us to appreciate this Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. And simultaneously we make dua to Allah ta'ala that He makes it such that our last day of this earthly life is the day of Jumu'ah. Now living in this world, there is continuous tests, continuous trials. And from amongst the tests and trials of the time that we are staying in and we are living in is this test and trial of our iman. That this test and trial of iman will become more and more difficult. As the time is coming closer and closer towards Qiyamah, a man will be tested more and more as far as the iman is concerned. But the beauty about Islam is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in the lives shown to us, in the practical demonstration of him living with Sahaba, is how to deal with these challenges that will come, these challenges of iman, these challenges and statements and times to come also. All we need to do is reflect back. We need to look at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then we'll see all our solutions are there. So currently one challenge on iman, one challenge on this iman that we have is as far as the different religions are concerned. That the different religions are there and everyone should peacefully coexist. Although it sounds nice on paper, but inside this statement of peaceful coexistence lies a very dangerous, or lies very dangerous poison. In other words, that how do we peacefully coexist? Is there such a thing as Islam peacefully coexistent, existing with all other religions on the same level? In other words, we're all equal, we're all happy. Now there was a precedent set for us in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So we'll discuss inshallah today the virtues of Surah Kafirun and also the message of Surah Kafirun to help us navigate, to help us move through this era we are living in, where this is something that's constantly bombarding us, this pressure of coexisting, of divinity in humanity, that we all are equal. Humanism comes before religion. The fact that we all are humans, that takes precedent over the fact that we are Muslims. So that how these things play out and how we react to these statements has already been shown to us in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So today we'll discuss few of the virtues of Surah Kafirun and the message of Surah Kafirun. Allama ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi mentions that a large number of Sahaba would report that they heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam reciting in the sunnat of Fajr Salah and in the sunnat of Maghrib Salah these two surahs. So one is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, reporting that in the sunnat of Fajr Salah, and then there is a large number of Sahaba would report that we would hear him reciting in the sunnat of Fajr and in the sunnat of Maghrib. In other words, starting the day with the surah Kafirun, starting the day with Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Both these surahs have got to do with the divinity and the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oneness and the tawheed as far as our Islam, our deen is concerned. And also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would end the day. And then there is some companions came up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that can you give us a dua that we can recite at the time of sleeping? Before we sleep, give us one dua that we can recite at the time of sleeping. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, recite Surah Kafirun at the time of sleeping, because this surah is immunity against idolatry, it's immunity against shirk. Like how we talk about immunity against this disease and that disease, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has given us an immunity against shirk. And what is that immunity? Recite Surah Kafirun, try and ponder over the meaning, and then go to sleep every night. This is an immunity against shirk. Hazrat Jubair ibn Mut'im radiallahu anhu, he said, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's style was that to create thirst in Sahaba, he would generally ask them questions. Often he would ask them a question just to create the thirst in them. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked me, that would I like to be the most prosperous? Would I like to be the most happiest? Would I like to be the most well-to-do person as far as moving and traveling on a journey is concerned? So he says, naturally, if Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is asking me to be the most happiest, most prosperous, most well-to-do person when moving on a journey, of course he'll say yes. So then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him that recite the last five surahs of the Quran, and how to recite Surah, only leave out Surah Lahab after. Then he skips out Surah Lahab, he goes to Qul Huwallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Nas. So he'll end up reading five surahs, and like that he'll read six bismillahs. Why? Because before every surah there is one, and there's one at the end also. So therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to him to do it this way. So anyway, he gives now his personal account. So you start off with bismillah, and then you're ending off with bismillah. There's five surahs. So what happens? You get six bismillahs. So anyway, he gives his personal account after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him this advice. He says, I was a very poor person. I was in a very, very difficult situation. I was in constraint. But after I started practicing upon this, I was one of the most prosperous persons. I was one of the most happiest persons because of the yaqeen on practicing on the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu reports that once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was bitten by a scorpion. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked for some water and he asked for some salt. We know salt is a natural disinfectant. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam took that water, took that salt. Nabi alayhi salatu wasallam applied it to the wound. He recited these three surahs. Qul Wallahu Ahad, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Falaq, Qul A'udhu Bi Rabbil Nas. He blew, applied this to that wound, and Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was granted shifa. So these surah, the surah has many benefits, but from amongst the benefit we've seen was, one of the benefits was it creates immunity against idolatry, against shirk, and this is something now that is attacking us. So let us discuss a little bit more how this, what caused this surah to be revealed. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three proposals had come to him. And now also in our time and age, we're seeing these proposals are coming. And the way and the style also is very similar that is coming now also how it came that time. So one of the ways that it's used is get big guns, the big guns of the time to bring forward these proposals, whether it be the Malemas, whether it be the Ramaphosas, whether it be the Motsepes, whoever it may be, that people that have got a lot of money, they got a lot of influence, a lot of clout, they must come forward with these proposals. So in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Asib ibn Wa'il, these were all the leaders of the Quraysh, they were non-Muslims. So Asib ibn Wa'il, Umayyah ibn Khalaf, Aswad ibn Abdul Muttalib, three of the seniors of the Quraysh came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They came to him and they said, we are making a proposal to you. What was the proposal they were making to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That what you do is, 1 year, you worship our idols, 1 year we will worship your Allah. First proposal for peaceful coexistence is you worship our idols, 1 year we'll worship. So we'll all live happily. There's no need for the Quraysh to be split. There's no need for brothers and sisters to be split. There's no need for the families to be split. It's a win-win situation, 1 year, 1 year. First proposal. Second proposal they put to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What was the proposal? Now that was put to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that you don't speak out against us. That's all. Don't speak out. You don't. So this is the recipe, like how the main ingredient for a cake is cake flour. The main ingredient for peaceful coexistence with other religions is don't speak out against the other religions. We all are happy. You are happy. We are happy. We'll have a national day of prayer. We will all pray together. We'll have multi-faith programs. We will all come together and we'll all pray on the water. We'll do this. But you don't speak out against us. We don't speak out against you. And in return for this, not speaking out against us, we will make you the wealthiest man of Makkah. We'll give you the most beautiful woman of Makkah Sharif at your disposal. That was the second. And this also we're seeing today, that let us call for it to such an extent that people are even calling for peaceful coexistence with the Shias. People that are swearing Sahaba, that are swearing the great companions, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, they're calling for peaceful coexistence. In other words, we can live happily, we don't speak out against you, you don't speak out against us. So this was one of the proposals that was put to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third proposal that was put to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that all you do, okay, you carry on what you're doing, no problem. but you just put your hand over our idols. In other words, you just bless it, show people that you are okay with us. In other words, you've got no issue with us. We can carry on, you can carry on. Put your hand over our idols and just touch it. On that occasion, now Allah Ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salatu salam down with the surah. That let it be known to the whole world for now and forever that Islam is different to all other religions. There's no such thing as peaceful coexistence in this light that we don't speak out against what is wrong. What is wrong is what is wrong. What is right is what is right. Qul, ya ayyuhal kafirun, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, address them. O you who disbelieve, O you kafirs, plural of kafirs, kafirun, la a'budu ma ta'budun, I do not worship what you worship. Wala antum abiduna ma a'bud, what you worship, I do not worship. Clear, spelt it out. No mincing words, no beating around the bush. Wala ana abidu ma abadtum, I do not worship what you worship. Ulama explain why this thing is mentioned twice. We already read it one time, now read it again. Is one is for emphasis. This is something to be emphasized. That Islam is second to none as far as wahdaniyat, as far as the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned. And also, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving a message. Currently, I do not worship what you worship, and never ever in the future will I ever worship what you worship. وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ, you do not worship what I worship. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ, for you is your deen and for me is my deen. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi has taken this meaning, that for you is your religion, for me is my religion. Mawlana Tanvi rahmatullahi would give this explanation, that for you is your punishment and for me is my reward. لَنَا أَعْمَالُنَا وَلَكُمْ أَعْمَالُكُمْ. We can see how categoric it is. So one is as far as humanitarian efforts are concerned. Now this is something separate. This was far as religion is concerned. Humanitarian's effort as far as is concerned, Islam is second to none. We help everyone. In fact, we help a non-Muslim. If a non-Muslim is getting attacked on the road, there's a robbery, a Muslim is the first one to go and help. If a non-Muslim is in need of food, is in need of water, the first person to go and assist will be a Muslim. To such an extent, one in hadith it comes, Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif, riwayat, that there was a person that was walking and he was feeling extremely thirsty. He came to a well. He climbed into the well and he helped himself because the level of water was low. Climbed down slowly, he took some water and he drank. When he came out, he saw one dog that was leaping around the mud. The dog couldn't go down. So he thought to himself that this dog is experiencing exactly what I experienced just now. So he went back into the well. He had a leather sock. He filled up that leather sock with water. He held that leather sock with his teeth and he climbed up the well. He came out and he gave that dog that water to drink. It comes in the hadith that Allah Ta'ala made his maghfirat on that one action, giving a napak dog water to drink. This is our deen. In one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that if a person plants a tree, that every insect, every creature, every bird that eats and benefits from that tree, whether it's from the shade of the tree or whether it's the fruit of the tree, this person that planted the tree will get the reward. To such an extent, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that if a thief also had to come to steal from that tree, a thief, it wasn't his property, he came and he stole the mangoes, he stole the, I'm just using this fruit as an example, guavas, whatever fruit he stole and he took the, even that thief eating that fruit also, this person is getting the reward. The thief will get the guna, he'll get the strength for what he did. But this man that planted the tree will get the reward of the tree. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even went further than that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam even told us that when a person is planting palm trees, what distance to keep between the trees so that each tree can get sufficient water and each tree can get sufficient sunlight. To that extent we were taught in our deen. So when it comes to these efforts, humanitarian efforts, it comes to efforts of helping people, Islam is first, number one. But when it comes to our deeni matters, then there is no compromise. Islam is Islam. There's no such thing as multi-faith, interfaith. We coexist. There's a national day of prayer. We're all going to gather together and we're all going to pray. In other words, we're going to give you some type of recognition. You give us some type of recognition. Allah Ta'ala himself mentions in the Quran, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا. He Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down his bin huda wa deen il haqqi with the true religion, liyudhhirahu ala deen kulli, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may make it such that our deen prevails, our deen is prominent, our deen dominates over every other religion. So there is no such thing. Allah ta'ala forgive us today. This is becoming something that is so common that a person says first humanity comes first, then we can ascribe to a religion. It never ever happens to this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it very clear. Under this one ayat, my time is almost run out. I'll just finish up on this. There's ayat of the Quran, لَا تَجِدِ قُوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ يُوَادُّونَ مَنْ حَادَّ اللَّهُ رَسُولَهُ ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم. That you will never ever find that those people that believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the last day, they will have love for those people that oppose Allah ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though those people that are opposing are their parents, are their brothers, or even their close family members, they'll never have love for them. So under this ayat of the Quran, there are a few incidents that are mentioned in the tafsir. I'll just quickly mention them to us to get an idea of how clear Sahaba were when it came to religious practices and religious connotations as far as the other deens were concerned. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, his father's name was Abu Quhafa. Abu Quhafa, he was not a Muslim at that time. So on one occasion, he swore Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave him such a hard smack, his father fell down. So now he came and he told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this was driven by love. Hazrat Abu Bakr had great love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He came and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what I did. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, do not be excessive with your father. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu replied to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these are statements of love. He said, Wallahi, lo kana sayfu qariba minni laqataltuhu. O Nabi of Allah, I take an oath that if there was a sword near me, I would have killed my father for that one statement. For him swearing you, I would have killed my own father. This was the love they had. It wasn't such. Islam brought about a definite, a dividing line. This is what Islam is. It doesn't matter who is on the other side. It can be the president, it can be influential people, it doesn't make a difference. Islam is Islam, and we are happy and proud and clear about it. Next incident was Hazrat Abdullah ibn Saud radiallahu anhu. He relates that Hazrat Abu Ubaidah ibn Jarrah radiallahu anhu, he killed his father Abdullah. He killed his father Abdullah in the battle of Uhud. And then these ayats were revealed. La tajidu qawmi yu'minun. It's not an easy thing to kill your own father. In the battle of Uhud, that opportunity was there, he killed his own father. Allah Ta'ala revealed this. In other words, confirming that what he did was a right thing, killing your own father. And then Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, he killed his khal in the battle of Badr. Khal is mother's brother. His mother's brother's name was what? As ibn Hisham ibn Mughira. So his own mother's brother he killed in the battle of Badr. So these are incidents and examples. Now we can't say that they were not human beings. They all were human beings. But it was Islam is what is Islam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spelt it out to us. Otherwise Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa na'udhu billah, we will say that he came and he divided the whole community. This was not the case. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came and he decided and he defined and he showed us the refinement of what Islam. Actually Islam brings about humanity. Humanity does not bring about Islam. Before Islam they were worse than animals. That if a girl was born, that girl would be taken and buried. Allah Ta'ala himself mentioned, وَإِذَا بُشِّرَ أَحَدُهُمْ بِالْأُنْثَى ظَلَّ وَجْهُ مُسْوَدَّ وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. That if any one of them were given news that you had, your wife or your family had given birth to a daughter, a girl was born, they would be so embarrassed, their faces would blacken with embarrassment, and they would get upset. وَهُوَ كَظِيمٌ. They would get upset. One of two things. يَتَوَارَى مِنَ الْقَوْمِ مِنْ سُوءِ مَا بُشِّرَ بِهِ. They would go away from the public. They would go away, they'll hide from people, like how a criminal hides, he's scared to meet the people. They would actually hide. Why? Because a daughter came in our home. Ayum sikuhu, one of two options they had now, this is what the situation. Ayum sikuhu ala honin am yadussuhu fit tarab. Either we're going to keep this child with embarrassment. We're going to be embarrassed to have a small daughter. Or, we're going to bury this girl in the ground. Ayum sikuhu ala honin am yadussuhu fit tarab. Sa'a ma yahkumun. Allah Ta'ala is saying, what an evil decision these people would come to. And then when Islam came, then we see Islam refined and defined what humanity is. There's an incident that is mentioned about the daughter of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anha. The daughter of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anha, that now when he was killed and martyred in the battle of Uhud, we know, now who's going to take custody of his daughter? There were three Sahaba that were actually fighting to take, not fighting, but they were actually debating and arguing amongst themselves. Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Zaid bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. They all are fighting and they all coming to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're putting their claims forward why we should take custody of this girl. Before they were embarrassed to keep the daughter. Now they're coming to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they're all fighting that who, so to speak, not fighting, but they were actually coming and putting the claims forward that we want to take custody of this girl. Eventually Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ruled in favor of Hazrat Jafar radiallahu anhu because his wife was the maternal aunt of the daughter of Hazrat Hamza radiallahu anhu. Because she was the khala, the mother's sister, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ruled in the favor that you go and stay with her. So now this shows us that how Islam defines what humanity is. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. My time has run out. But these are things that we have to keep in mind, that Islam comes first. Islam decides and Islam is the one that refines what humanity is. Don't get carried away by slogans and statements that are coming out, and this will continue coming out until the day of Qiyamah in the form of different accords. Sometimes it will be called the Cape Accord, sometimes it will be called the Makkah Accord, sometimes it will be called Abrahamic Accord, but all there to see how we can pray together, we can be together, we can peacefully coexist. We got to understand Islam is different. We are not shy to say this is what it is, and if everyone's safety, security and respect lies in everyone coming to Islam, not everyone praying separately to different deities. Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.